If you've got a Bible with you or a tablet or something where you'll find your Bible, perhaps you would like to turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. And I'm going to invite Loretta to come up and read our passage this morning. And then Dan is going to come up and bring God's word to us. Thank you, Loretta.
If you'd like to follow in the church Bibles, the reading is on page 1088. David's already given you the reference, so I won't repeat it. Concerning spiritual gifts. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Dan. I'm the student minister here at Crom Road, and I would like to add my welcome to that you've already had this morning. Again, as Tim has already done, I'd like to warmly encourage you. You see how I did that? Warmly encourage. Warmly encourage you, if you are here for the first time, to fill in a Connect card. This is just a very practical way for us to help you get connected with the life of this church here at Crom Road Baptist. To the church, can I just say a massive thank you for the prayers over the last week, over the last few weeks, as I have had various different exams and deadlines. I have felt very greatly helped. I'm pleased to say, due in part to those prayers and to my wife's extraordinary patience, by the grace of God, I passed, which is great. Although my English Baptist history, thank you. Although my English Baptist history, I'm looking away here, my English Baptist history left something to be desired. The long and short of it is you haven't got rid of us yet, but on a personal note, we would really appreciate your continued prayers, not only for the ongoing academic side of life, but also for the reality of a completely unknown and in some ways unplannable future for Jen, Noah and I. This week, I am meeting with the London Baptist Association to go through ministry recognition, which will, God willing, enable us to process or progress, I should say, into looking for a Baptist church that we can serve. There are lots of logistical issues, lots of things for us to go through, such as housing, finance, schools and jobs, which make this very exciting for us because we just have no idea, but also quite nerve-wracking, as I'm sure you can imagine. But we know that we've been held safe thus far by God's grace and people's kindness. So we have faith that it's all going to come together. On another note, Jen is running a half marathon this morning for Great Ormond Street. So continued prayers are appreciated. On into the unknown future. But I suppose that reality of an unknown future is a shared reality, isn't it? God has placed us on this earth, in this place, at this time, for both a present, but also a future purpose. Each one of us, purpose. God's kingdom purpose. Not just to sit, although sometimes we have to sit. Not just to wait around, although sometimes we do have to wait. But definitely not to stagnate. Definitely not to sit comfortably kicking our heels until Jesus turns up to whisk us away. But we're here, placed here, to grow, to move, to learn, to develop, to act. That's whether you're serving the kids in kids' work or whether you're a teacher. Whether you're an accountant or a hospital worker. God has called us into action to go and make disciples. In fact, go in the Greek text in the book of Matthew is actually what's called an aorist passive participle, which means having gone. So you get this idea that Jesus just assumes that we're going to get a move on. That we're going to get going. That we're going to do something. Making disciples. Following Jesus in and through our daily lives. God has called us together for this reason. And if we miss this, the passage that's just been read to us and all that we talk about today is going to make no practical difference whatsoever. It's going to make no sense. We've got 11 verses this morning, and obviously I want to ground what I have to say firmly in that passage, but I want this text to come to life for us and amongst us, to have an experiential effect amongst us, that our lives would be genuinely changed and transformed. So here's what I'm hoping we're going to do this morning. I'm actually going to break some of the preaching rules. I'm going to park some of the usual big scene setting stuff that often we do, the contextual stuff, because I'm assuming that as we've been through this series, that you've got some of the flavour of what's going on in the Corinthian church, as well as some of the problems that St. Paul has been dealing with, that actually are ongoing throughout the letter, issues of disunity, division, argument, misunderstanding, and various levels of ignorance. So I'm assuming that we have, as a church, got a fairly good picture of what these Corinthian rascals were like. And some of it, again, will continue to come out of the text that we've got this morning. But I encourage you, if you haven't, please do visit this address so that you can catch up with the sermon series thus far and fill in the blanks. So I'm going to take us through the passage. I'm going to try and attempt a rough sketch of what's going on, almost verse by verse. My translation, by the way, that's going to come up on the screen is the NRSV, which is slightly different to the texts you have in front of you. And then if we have time, I'm going to share some of my personal journey, some of my story with this particular material, and try and land it in some personal experience. How does that sound? Great, three of you, fantastic. Well, the rest of you are just going to have to deal with it because that's what I've prepared. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have sent the Spirit. And Lord, we want to grapple with that reality today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the texts that we have in front of us. But we recognize, Lord, that we need life, not just texts. And we pray that by the Spirit, what we've read this morning would come to life in our hearts and that it would affect our practice, that it would affect our action, both as a church, as you build us together into this people of power, but also as we scatter into our weeks, into our jobs, into our families, into the pubs, into the cafes, into the hospitals, into the offices. Lord, that's where we want to see transformation. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wonder whether you have ever been misinformed or uninformed. It leads to a right mess. Either you're ignorant of the actual situation, you know, the real deal, or you found some information that actually leads you off in a completely different direction on a wild goose chase, only to find there is no goose. And the Corinthians have found themselves in this situation regarding spiritual gifts. Now, Paul has written to the church quite systematically, dealing with issues that have and are causing division and disunity in the church. And so Paul is appealing to the whole group. Brothers and sisters, he's saying, Eyes up front, everyone. You need to listen to this. Get what I'm about to say. I do not want you guys getting into a mess on this one. So this is a shout out to everyone. Paul is making an appeal on this basis that the whole church would be called into listening. Appeal to unity in the community. And this is going to emerge as a central element of what Paul's saying. Spiritual gifts, I want you to understand this, he says, because it must not cause further division among you. Of course I want you to get an idea of what spiritual gifts are all about. Of course I want that. But more importantly, I want to unpack the purpose of them. I want to unpack the purpose of these gifts. I need to teach you this, says Paul. The reason is, well, you remember that time where you didn't know Jesus, before you'd come to know him. Well, it seems that people had persuaded you to believe that bits of wood, stone or gold, made by human hands, fashioned by human hands, were your gods. And that's a bit, well, we don't want that happening again, do we? We don't want people leading you astray on this issue. Frankly, because if someone could cause you to be confused over which end of the firewood was for burning and which end was God, we need to talk about spiritual gifts. I do not want that level of confusion going on. I've got to set the record straight. I've said before that I'm a big movie fan. One of my favourite shots, camera shots in a movie, is called the reverse dolly zoom. Has anyone heard of a reverse dolly zoom before? Okay, reverse dolly zoom is that special camera shot for that moment where people tend to come to an amazing realisation. Sometimes it can be shock, sometimes it can be that moment where they're faced with reality and they think, oh my goodness, what's going on? And the way it's done is the camera is placed on a dolly trolley. And at the moment it's pulled back, the camera zooms in. And I'm sure you will have seen it. It's the moment where you get this sudden rush forward to the lead actor's face. And you suddenly see the pained expression. My particular favourite moment of the use of the reverse dolly zoom is in Jaws. Has anyone seen Jaws? Okay, a couple. It's the moment where Chief Brody realises he's let his 8-year-old son in the sea with a great white shark. And the camera zooms in. And you see this moment, this shock on his face. I like to imagine that if this was turned into a movie, the reverse dolly zoom would be used on the Corinthian church when Paul says this. Zoom in. You were led astray to idols that couldn't even speak. Cue reverse dolly zoom. Oh, were we really that deluded? That's the kind of image that I have of Paul getting on this particular point. So he's wanting to set the record straight with some serious basics here. And it's this. If you want to identify how God is working by the Spirit, if you want to identify who is speaking by the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't matter if they're churning out incredible prophecies or they're doing amazing miracles, or they're streaming out just miraculous wonders. If they're speaking against Jesus Christ, if they're speaking against his lordship, then it isn't the Spirit of God. This is basic foundation. You see, for us as Christians, followers of Jesus, there is a basic confession, an experience of God that's called the Trinity. It's a distinctly Christian word, although interestingly appears nowhere in the Bible text, but it's used to describe the reality that we see throughout the stories of the Bible, that God reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons in relationship, yet indivisible in being. It's the Christian mystery that escapes our language and escapes our brains. But it provides the foundation for those who would call themselves Christians, for us as the church, that makes us distinct from people of other faiths. So with this being the case, Paul is saying, the person of the Holy Spirit will lead us to truth about the person of Jesus Christ, who will lead us to God the Father. The Holy Spirit cannot speak against Jesus. So someone preaching, teaching, prophesying, ministering, whatever, If that's being done in the power of the Holy Spirit, it will not deny the lordship of Christ. So Paul is showing that this division that's occurring in the church over the issue of spiritual gifts arising in God's people shouldn't be on the basis of this or that gift, this or that ministry. Well, she's doing this and I don't like it. He's doing that and it really bothers me and upsets me. It's not about that. It's not about personal preference, as if that even matters. This is about maintaining, developing and strengthening unity within God's people based on the confession that Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is the one who joins us. Jesus is the one who brings us together. Jesus issues, or is the issue here. He's the reason for our unity across such massive diversity. Part of the reason we are given these gifts is for the building of unity. So if it's not based on Jesus, it ain't going to work. If we get hung up on lists, as often we can do, this or that gift, what does that look like? What does this look like? The use of this one, the use of that one. And if that becomes a cause for our division, then we're in danger of missing what Paul says and what he's getting at here. We're in danger of repeating the same mistakes. Again, based on the reality of the Trinity, we must see that God is still at work by the same Holy Spirit. It looks different in different people. That's the glorious wonder of diversity, of difference, of uniqueness that God, in his wisdom, wants us to enjoy and celebrate. I am different to David. Tim is different to me. Mary is different to Christine. Croam is different to Emmanuel. Turn to the person next to you and say, "We are different. Praise God." Turn to the person on the other side and say, "We aren't the same. Thank you, Lord." Each one of us has different gifts, different ministries, different activities and varieties of service. It's this mix of activity that's brought together because of a confession of Jesus Christ, all brought about by the same God. It's the same God. This is what theologians would call a Christological issue. It's about the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. Yet Paul seems to preempt something here. Those that might think or claim this is a sign-off to do whatever they like. As long as it's in Jesus' name, I can get away with it. Now, I like Paul because I think he gets that there's always a spectrum. On one end, there's those people that are so cautious, they never take a risk, never take a step of faith. And then on the other end, there are those wing nuts, and we all know who we're talking about here, that are ready to go off the deep end at the slightest hint of any kind of unchained freedom or permission. And Paul's wanting to manage this spectrum in the life of God's people. He's wanting to bring together a sense of unity. And implicit in Paul's statement about the Spirit's work being revealed through a confession of Jesus Christ is that it's not just about speaking it. It's about living it. It's about action. That confession of Jesus Christ as Lord is to be matched with a life that proves it, that demonstrates it. For to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The experience of the Spirit is for the common good. There it is, purpose. It's for something. We have to share what we have. That's why it has to be seen. That's why it has to be heard. The Spirit is here wanting to do something amongst us. There's an experience of God to be enjoyed together for common good. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God, means that this experience is going to be a continuation of the same behaviours and same actions of Jesus. Now, I was given strict instructions to stay inside this text so as to avoid covering any future material. So I'm going to, seeing on the basis I've behaved pretty well until now, I'm going to temporarily break the rules and go backwards. So I'm covering past material. John 16, and this is Jesus speaking in verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper or the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus had said, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these." Ouch. "Because I'm going to the Father." Notice that in that second verse. On the basis of confession, it will produce action. The one who believes in me will also do. So let's just let that sink in for a second. Because whether greater, which is megas in Greek, means in number or in power, and that's open to debate, it's still a massive thing to say. I mean, just imagine this, coming home. "Hello, dear. How was your day, darling? Oh, you know, I only saw one person freed from blindness today." Or, "Oh, you know, only 6,000 people I fed with my Boots meal deal today." I mean, imagine that. There is something of an experience that God wants us to walk into. An experience and an action that confesses Jesus as Lord. Healing of the sick, captives being set free, good news to the poor, peace to the disturbed, justice to the oppressed, peace to the unsettled. That's the action of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And that's what we are called to. I think I got away with that little detour. Jump back in. It's not just you, David. Me as well. Here we have from Paul, verses 8 through to 10, a picture of some of the activity that can go on when God, by his Holy Spirit, works through us. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, powerful discernment, miraculous speaking in other unlearned languages, and their interpretation. It's quite a picture of what can happen when the Spirit shows up, when God is at work. And we don't have time to get into each one. And if we did, I think we would be missing, as I say, what Paul is getting at. And it's this. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit. No reason for division. God appoints these gifts. You may be given a prophetic word. You may be given a powerful preaching ministry. The person next to you may speak in powerful or mysterious languages. You may too. You may not. You might have incredible moments of life-changing faith that empowers you to take huge risks with your time and your money. You may have the power to see behind the curtain of human experience and see something of what's going on in the spiritual, in a person's life, deep behind what's on the surface. Each one given these gifts individually. But God appoints them as he chooses, for his purpose, for common good. Let's not let these things cause division. So don't get grumpy with what you are or are not given. Don't get divisive with someone who has a different experience of the Spirit to you. Don't look over to the person to the left or the right who is lost in passionate praise, shouting in other languages. Don't spend your time working out whether that is or isn't of God. Listen to me. When you're trained to spot counterfeit notes, Do you know that you're trained through the experience and realization of the genuine article? That's how they train you to spot counterfeit notes. They give you only genuine notes to study. So those that would claim discernment over what is and what isn't from God had better be very, very aware of and experienced in the real deal. How are we doing for time? Okay. Everyone okay? Okay. A little bit of my story. Some of you will know some of this because I've had opportunity to share things with you. I grew up in a quite conservative church, as many of you know, and the theology was Father, Son, and Holy Bible. Not really much mention of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was clearly on holiday or something, because we were never introduced. And so they held what was commonly called a cessationist view, which I'm sure as we get into further into the book of Corinthians, David will unpack in the weeks to come. But it was basically a view that believed that God's Spirit had ceased to work in the ways that were outlined in Scripture, in these kind of direct ways. Now, my parents, rather bizarrely, had a copy of a book called Run, Baby, Run. Has anyone heard of Run, Baby, Run by Nicky Cruz? Fantastic, fantastic book. Changed my life, actually, that I saw what a transformation someone can go through. For those of you that don't know Run, Baby, Run, it's a story of a dramatic life change of a gangster who, as a result of meeting Jesus, came to faith. And included in his testimony was a story of a powerful encounter with the Spirit of God. And it seemed to be an experience that as I was reading Run, Baby, Run in one hand and looking at what I was reading in the New Testament, I thought I could see something of a parallel. And I thought, this is not my experience. This has not been my journey. I'd never seen it. I had no idea of what it would look like. But I began to pray. I began to pray, God, this seems to be an experience, a day-to-day life with you that is not just about attending meetings. And I want that. I was hungry for it. I was thirsty for it. So I began to pray. And some years later, through various different circumstances, I found myself attending a church that was filled with people that seemed to actually know, experience, and meet with God. It was incredible. And really powerfully. I heard people speaking in other languages. There were powerful testimonies of people having their lives changed, healings and miracles that really blew my mind. And a dear friend of mine prayed for me to experience and come to know the Holy Spirit in this way. And over the years, since that moment, there have been occasions where I've heard God's voice or perceived God speaking to me. I've spoken in other languages and had the opportunity to interpret other languages, although I don't know what they were. Prophesied. I've seen some healings. And by faith and trust in God, I'm praying that I'm going to see more. Because that is what I believe God wants for us. Now, there are times where it pushed me beyond my comfort zone. Where it was unsettling for me. Because it seemed that God was doing something that I didn't agree with. And think about how ridiculous that is. When in my English reserve, I really struggled to understand the emotional outpouring and experience that others were having. And I'll be honest, I defaulted to a judgmental attitude very often. I'd look over at others and say, that's not of God. That's of the flesh. There were times in my insecurity as well that I would look over and I'd say at something God was doing and say, well, what about me, God? Why aren't you doing that to me? Why this person and not me? And there were also times where in my fear and desire for control, frankly, I would hold back from stepping out in faith when I knew God was calling me to do something. I'd never realized until I started to step out what it could be like. And I think where I've come to is that by God's grace, I want to continue to step out in faith, because I'd rather do that and get it wrong and make a mistake, but see God at work than never take a risk and miss out. Because this is the same God, the same Spirit, the same Lord. God loves his people and he's called us to partner with him in his mission. The gifts, the ministries, the activities are part of that mission. Having gone, make disciples, followers of Jesus. The same Spirit at work in the Corinthian church is at work here, equipping us, empowering us to join in God's mission. So, here we go. I believe that God, through this passage, is speaking to us, saying that there's a time coming when this stuff is going to start to show up again in this place. And where, like water being poured from a cup, the Holy Spirit's going to show up. And for some of us, it will feel like a big spillage. And it will feel like he's making a mess of things. Messes our plans up. And I believe some of us, while I'm even saying this now, are resonating with what I'm saying. Feeling something like hope and faith rise up. You've been praying for it. Healings, words of knowledge, prophecy, signs and wonders. The sound of other languages to fill this place. Fill the worship again. That the occasional, or more than occasional, blank stares and folded arms will see reason to rejoice. With lifted arms and eyes filled with wonder at what God has done. I believe it. Why? Because it's the same God. It's the same Spirit. It's the same Lord. So the question for us is, will fear and caution cause us to push that cup away? Seeking safety. Sometimes seeking safety in manageable comfort, in the routine. Or are we going to get to a point where we're ready to have our agendas changed and transformed? Will it stop us from reducing our service to God from being a matter of whether we're on a rota or not? To catching us up into the life-giving mission of God? Or will rational, analytical thinking overturn a simple trust? I'm not throwing out thinking. I'm not saying we should lose our minds. But it's trust that comes first. God has called us not only to share in his work, but has empowered us, given us the tools with which to do the job. So how are we going to handle that? Because it's my hope it will be a lot bigger than a spillage. It's my hope that it will be for this place like a wave. An unescapable tidal wave that will come through this building and carry us all out. Into our homes, into our workplaces, into the cafes and pubs, into the neighbour's house. To seek the common good. Seek the common good for the purpose of God. It's a manifestation. It's got to show up. Got to see it. So let's pray for it. Shall we pray? God, this is tough stuff because it may mean we need to change our plans, and we like our plans. We're asking, Lord, that faith would rise, that we would just simply trust you, that we would engage in a relationship with you that involves our whole being, body and mind, soul and spirit, that fear would not hold us back, that desire for control would not manage you as if you could be managed. But we pray, Lord, for life transformation, that we would, by the outpouring of the Spirit, be joined together, that we would be formed into a people of power, that would see change and transformation in our communities. That common good would be the experience of those outside the church when they meet with God's people. Lord, help us. Help us, we pray. I wonder whether where you are, just as we take a moment in silence, you just ask the Lord to, by his Spirit, just point out those areas where you need to maybe relinquish some control and allow his peace to come in place of possible fear. It's an ongoing journey and process in handing our lives to Jesus. Have your will, Lord, is our prayer. Have your way. So we pray, Holy Spirit, would you come? Touch our lives that we might touch others. In Jesus' name, amen.